Father, we come before you this morning, opening ourselves before you, asking you to help us be faithful, true. Thank you, Lloyd, Jessica, this way and this way. Whatever life, world, What makes stealing not right?
Because Jesus said that we aren't supposed to take things that aren't ours.
Okay. That's right. But thinking about why is it wrong to take something that's not our own? It's not the way of God. It's not just. It's something that doesn't belong to us. We take it. And there's inequality. What I mean is, it's not. It doesn't weigh out. I didn't work for this. I didn't make any kind of a bargain for it. This man thinks it's his, but I'm taking it either by force or by, without him knowing it, as though it were mine. There's not honesty. There's not goodness there. It's completely against even the law of nature just to be taking something that's not ours. It's unrighteous. It's not right. And so, sometimes we think of unrighteousness as just being off out in wickedness, living a, doing drugs and drinking and running around women and things like that as being unrighteous. That's just wicked, And that's one of the definitions of unrighteous. Not right. But there's a lot of religious people that are unrighteous because they're not operating right. They're not recognizing God. They're not fearing God in their dealings with each other and with the world around them. They think it's a good thing to look holy or to talk holy, but in their dealings with people and with other religious people or churches, then they take that which isn't theirs, or they try to destroy, or they try to belittle, or whatever. And there's more to unrighteousness. And that's why we need to hate and abhor unrighteousness. The very anything that's not rightly belonging to something else. That's why it's wrong to take another man's wife. She doesn't belong to you. That's why it's wrong to steal. That's why it's wrong to lie, because you're presenting something that's false, that isn't the way it really is. See, God's about reality. God's about what's real, what's true. And that's what our soul needs to hate that. Not, and I'm not going to talk about this so much, because it's not about just being churchy, or good, just looking good, or not ever getting your hands dirty. Sometimes righteousness is getting your hands dirty and reaching out to someone else. You understand what I'm saying? It's more than just being religious. It probably isn't even that. It's not even that. It's against that sometimes. But I love your law. Now, through this, think about the law that he was talking about. And I think it's David who wrote this, but is it just the law of Moses? Or is it the law of God that he's talking about? And then you look in this psalm, and it talks about I long, verse 166, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and I love your commandments. It looks like he's looking ahead to something greater than what he has. But he loves what he has. He loves the law. And he loves all that he knows about God. But he's still longing for God's salvation. He says, I praise you 7 times a day for the judgments of your righteousness. Great peace to all who love your law, and it is not an offense to them. If we're offended by something that the Lord tells us in the Word, especially the teachings of Christ in the New Testament, what we're living under now, if we're offended by something in that, then we've got the issue, not God. So, because great peace have all who love your law, because those people that have peace because of it, there's no obstacle. There's nothing, there's no there's no barrier between them and God in that. They're open to God. They're wanting to do His will, whatever it costs. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. All my ways are before you. Everything we do, ways that we are, you know, people can tell the way a child is by his ways, his actions, his tendencies, the way he carries himself, the way he presents himself to other people, the way he deals with issues, problems, or good times, anything, you know. And that's, if we can see each other like that, God sees us more. All our ways are before him. And then 171 says, my lips shall overflow in song when you teach me your ordinances. And that reminds me of Brother Isaac Watts talking about the church of his day about 300 years ago being so trying to find adequate praise for God in Old Testament songs. This is the best they knew then. But he said, can we not sing the Lord ourselves? For along that line, I don't know the exact words, but it's we of the New Covenant, don't we have even more to sing about? And so when the Lord came and taught us his ordinances and what all the Old Testament foreshadowed, you know, what it means now for us, the fuller revelation, then, as one song says, then our lips should overflow in song. That's why singing and song is such an important part of the Christian church. It's an expression from within, and it should be living. It shouldn't be something we think we just got to do when we come to church. We're just going to sing. It's what we always do, so we just do it, right? You kind of, you know, you can get to kind of thinking that, but songs should flow from us every day or, you know, throughout our life, not just Sunday, not just when we come together. Because it says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and he loves to hear song. And he made human able to sing. And to, which is pretty remarkable to think about song and singing, that we can give a message or give praise in words in a different way than we can by speaking words, by stringing it out into a melody. It's just really pretty interesting to think about that, and that the Lord loves that. My tongue shall speak of your teaching, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand be for saving me. I chose your commandments. And then it says again, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my meditation. My soul shall live and praise you, and your judgment shall help me. And then the last said, I went astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten you. Yet not the Lord, his commandments, he is faithful. You can go ahead and give your assignment. This is you, this up here, right?
We were supposed to tell about sometime that God helped us and was close to us, and I thought about one time we were coming home from Robert Bergeron's place, and there was lots of ice on the road, and we were in the dump truck, and we started fishtailing, and God helped us and kept us from crashing.
God makes makes snow in the winter and flowers in the summer and the blue sky.
One time we were having a baptism and there was a tornado and the Lord helped us get back to the church house safe.
A couple years ago when I was sick, God helped me to get better.
We had the same assignment of the little boys. I thought about what God, every morning the sun comes up and the seasons go and it just is reminds me of the nearness of God.
I didn't prepare much, but I just thought about the everyone that we know, how many close calls we have, and how God decides whenever it's our time, and He spares us until it's that time. And that just shows the nearness of Him.
I thought about how long it's been a few months ago when Bob Carter got run over by that tractor, that he was not hurt too bad, and he was okay then.
It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was watching the men work on a roof. And when I was coming down, I stepped onto the top of a stepladder, and I'm not sure quite what happened, but I landed on concrete on my back and didn't get hurt.
Over here about a year ago, I was with the Hammond boys, and we were driving home from one of their neighbors' houses from out there in the woods playing, and I was driving and I hit a slick spot in the road and I rolled the Ranger, and God kept us from getting hurt.
I just wanted to say I appreciate you all, and I feel the nearness of God in this congregation. And I was thinking about in Athens when Paul was talking to the Athenians and how he told them that God is near to all of us if we but seek after Him, feel after Him. And I was thinking about how we can be in a completely dark place in our life and see no way of escape. But then God's near and he knows where we are. And many times we get the privilege of getting out of that place in our life and seeing the other side. And that to me shows that the nearness of God is not always felt, but it exists.
I got one time we were shopping and we were at Aldi's and we were still in the car, or I don't know if we were about to leave, and something walked past somebody and it spooked my mom and she slammed on the gas pedal and it revved up the engine, and if it wasn't in park it would have plowed right through the building.
One time us and Wilbur's were going to Mexico. We stopped at the beach and we were swimming and Wilbur and I were out there riding the waves, and we were just, without knowing it, we were just going out, further out, further out. Finally, we suddenly noticed that we couldn't touch, and so we called Daddy, and he came out. We were swimming back, and then we got back safely, and that just shows that just God helped us get back.
For next week, it'd be about the verse 165 there of this psalm that we read. Great deeds have all who love the law, and it is not an offense to them. I think King James says, and nothing shall offend them. Just give an example, either in the Bible or in history, of a time when whoever it was that you're going to talk about was offended by his law, or a time when someone wasn't offended. It was an example of one or the other. Both.